crack on with this. Lymphedema. What is it? How does it manifest itself? How is it caused? Treatment? Is it hereditary? I've got loads of questions here. If you can start off by giving your spiel, and then we'll intersperse with that.
So lymphedema is a chronic long-term condition. So obviously once someone has lymphedema, it's not something that ever goes away, as there isn't currently a cure for it. People can be born with it as well. So babies and children can be born with it. So that's known as primary lymphedema, or people can get it secondary from any trauma or injury, or also as opposed to having cancer treatment. So there's forms of management for that, compression therapy mainly, skincare, exercise, weight management. We do also do intensive therapy in clinic, where patients have to come in for a three-week course of bandaging. We have all sorts of other things that we can incorporate, so like oscillation therapy, vacuum therapy, low-level light therapy, intermittent pneumatic compression, kinesiology taping, which we use more so as a sort of self-management type of treatment. There is surgical options, although they're not always as successful as people would like, unfortunately. So at the moment I have a chap, he's going for liposuction on his leg, just because he wants to fit back in his skinny jeans, bless him.
Really, don't we all?
He's only 27,
is
so...
Is it? Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
so as you say, you can get it, babies can get it as well, can they?
Yeah, so it is quite a debilitating condition, because obviously it's every day you have to put your compression on, whether it be compression that you wear every night time or compression you wear every daytime as well. Sometimes patients have to incorporate wraps, which can be really bulky. You know, it can limit as to what clothes you are able to wear, because obviously, like I say, with the chap who's going for liposuction, you can't always fit into them.
No. I know I had personal experience of it, not myself, but mother, and every day we had to, she had to get the dressings changed, but it's not very nice, is it? Not very nice at all. And I can't remember, I mean, I think that was after she was getting treatment for cancer. I can't remember anything more about that, how it manifested itself, really, but is it always after an illness or after treatment of such things as cancer, or...?
No, not necessarily. So obviously if people are wheelchair-bound, they can get what's known as mobility dependency edema, because obviously they're immobile, so obviously the lymphatic system isn't pumping, so then the fluid isn't moving as it should do. Obviously if someone gets a bout of cellulitis, that in itself can be enough to onset lymphedema. Those who are very obese, because obviously when people are overweight, it puts excess pressure on the lymphatic vessels, so that can cause lymphedema to occur.
Is there anything we can do to offset it at all?
Basically, just keeping a good skincare routine, because obviously, especially with those with swollen limbs, it's more prone to cracking. So then obviously you'll onset a bout of cellulitis potentially, which can then obviously exacerbate the swelling. So making sure skincare is really key. Exercise, as I say, because obviously we need to get that lymphatic system pumping. Also having a healthy diet so that we're not overweight, we're not putting excess pressure on our lymph vessels. Those sort of things that you can do that are quite easy, really.
Yeah, that's what it's finding out about, isn't it, really? You need that awareness, as we say, which is why you're here, really, isn't it? OK, we're going to take a short little recess, a musical interlude, as we say, and we'll catch your breath back, and hopefully we'll find out more information, relative information. This is a little request going out to, it was Renee, little Renee. Rednecks, she likes to dance along with this one. Cotton Eye Joe, enjoy. So there you go, a little thing from Rednecks and Cotton Eye Joe going out especially to Renee. Young Renee. Right, we're back with Emma right now, our specialist therapist in lymphedema. Tell us more about it, really. One of the questions I was going to ask you was, are you under the NHS umbrella?
I am now. Initially, my role was voluntary, so I volunteered 2 days a week over for 2 years, and then kindly the Morgan Foundation funded me for 3 years, and then one of our voluntary hospital charities funded me for 9 months, and then it wasn't until 2019 that the trust took on my role.
Right, and now you're permanent position now, eh?
Yes, so right. Been here 11 years now.
11 years, good, Emma. Not look back, hopefully. And we're going to talk about treatment. Is it any treatment for it at all?
As I say, we do offer manual lymphatic drainage, which is a form of massage. We do also teach patients self-lymphatic drainage, so something that they can do themselves at home in between coming in for clinic appointments. We do vacuum therapy, so patients as well can also buy their own vacuum cups to do vacuum treatment themselves at home. Obviously, it's not as effective as the vacuum we have in clinic, but it's still a bit more intensive than just massaging with their hands. Because obviously with lymphedema, the tissues can become quite fibrous. They can become really hard. So obviously the vacuum helps to break that down to help to get it to soften up.
Very good. It doesn't sound very nice at all, does it, really? But as long as you've got treatment for it, but we've got no cure for it, have we?
No, sadly there is no cure. So there is surgical interventions to sort of make it a bit more bearable and manageable. But at present, no, it is something that even if they do go down the surgical route, they'll still require compression and treatment going forward. It's not something that will ever entirely resolve.
Is there anything that indicates it hereditary?
So obviously with those that are primary, yes, there are specific genes that they can test for. So there's a lot this week with it being Lymphedema Awareness Week. It is actually all about primary lymphedema this week, which they've never done before.
Right.
Because obviously there is more awareness now that there does need to be more done for children.
I was going to say about manifest. I'll just ask that question. We went over the same questions I've asked. Sorry about this.
So one thing I will say, just because I haven't mentioned it, if that's all right, is sadly our service is only for those secondary to cancer. So obviously we don't accept those that are primary.
Right.
Or, you know, those that are secondary to being overweight or anything like that. It is purely for those that have been through cancer treatment that we see.
Really?
Obviously those who, you know, aren't through cancer treatment, they can access services via Mersey Care. So that's in Speak that they run a clinic from there.
Right. I was going to say, how can you access your services?
So obviously via specialist nurses, consultants, patients are able to sort of self-refer, but we will always ask with the consultant and just get them checked out first if, you know, it's sort of something that they've, I don't know, had the treatment say 12 months ago and all of a sudden feel as though they've started with swelling, because that's the thing with lymphedema, sometimes it can sort of develop straight away after sort of radiotherapy and chemotherapy, or sometimes it can develop several or 8 years later. It's not something that always develops straight away.
Really? That's a strange thing, isn't it? Unbelievable. Right, we'll take a short break there, and we'll be back with Emma very, very shortly. I've got another request right now here at Radio Halton. Sound of ABBA and, of course, Dancing Queen. Right, there you go, a little thing from ABBA and, of course, Dancing Queen. And now we're back with Emma, specialist therapist. That's very, very good indeed. Lymphedema. I can never get my head around that, how to spell lymphedema, but there you go. Right, we're talking during the break. The amount of people who have this, do you kind of class it as a disease, or...?
It is, yeah, because obviously those that are primary, it's because the lymphatic system hasn't developed properly. So it's more of a condition than a disease, because it's not contagious. Can't catch it myself.
Thank goodness. So, yeah, how many people would you reckon in UK would get this?
So the British Lymphology Society now state that there are 450,000 in the UK with lymphedema, which is a lot more than it used to be, because it was only 240. So it is on the rise, which is why it's more important to spread the awareness and get people to get checked and sort of get treated sooner, really.
How quick has that increased from 240 to 450?
It has more so been in the past 3-4 years.
Really? It's quickly getting there. I'm surprised that there's not more information about this, really, to be honest. It increases that fast. And whereabouts would you get this? Is it just the legs?
No, so you can develop lymphedema anywhere in the body. So head, neck, genital, buttocks, breast, everywhere. It's not just your arms or your legs that you get it.
So the important thing to do is early doors, isn't it, really? I think you said you had a little statement to make about that. No.
No, so obviously it's just the fact that lymphedema is more than just swelling. You know, it's a lot for people. It's constant. You know, it's putting your compression on, it's remembering your antibiotics if you go away, it's making sure to take, you know, skincare cream, making sure you have your insect repellent, because obviously if you get bit or even if you get sunburnt, that's enough to onset a cellulitis infection. And you know, the amount of people we have that say, oh yes, people are always asking me why I'm wearing my compression, it's just to make sure that people are a bit more mindful if they do see someone with compression, the fact of the journey that they might have been on, especially with our service, because it is those through cancer that we see. You know, it can be a lot for people getting asked all the time, you know, what are you wearing that for? What have you done to your arm, or what have you done to your leg?
So this compression, is it a bandage, or is it something different than what we understand compression to be?
Yeah, so it'll just be either like a skin-coloured sleeve, or you can get them in colours, so you might see someone with a black or a blue or a pink sleeve, or, you know, leg garment.
Okay. The reason I ask is because I remember it being, well, with my mother, there's like wadding, all kinds of wadding, and then wrapped in bandages.
Yeah, so obviously if someone's having a course of bandaging, then yeah, they will have the bandages on instead. But again, you know, it was like the other week I had a lady, and she's only 40, she'd had a course of bandaging.
Work on this thing where it didn't 2 years ago.
So obviously, like I said, in terms of how we actually assess patients, so obviously we do have the lymph scanner now, whereas usually we just do limb volumes with a tape measure. So obviously when you're using a tape measure on someone, it takes into account obviously their tissues, any fat, whereas the lymph scanner obviously tells us purely the water content present in the tissue, so we are able to then use that as a diagnostic to obviously intervene much earlier than what we would have done previous. Obviously there's lymphovenous anastomosis, where they connect a lymph vessel up to a vein. That wasn't about, but obviously thankfully for the surgeons and the wonderful people they are, you know, that is offerable now. Sadly, it's not available to us in the UK as such. If you live in Wales, you can get it for free.
Well.
but over here in the UK, no, it's about £14,000 for that procedure.
Good heavens.
But I say it doesn't mean that patients are then not in compression whatsoever. They will still need to wear compression, even if they do go down those surgical routes.
But make it easy for them, would it?
Yeah. Obviously, we have the intermittent pneumatic compression pumps, which are great. They've been around for quite a while now, though, to be fair. But then patients can buy their own unit. So it's basically 12 chambers in like a zip-up cuff, either on the arm or the leg. The other problem is they don't do it for breast or head and neck.
No.
Well, they're doing the States for head and neck, but not over here in the UK. So, yeah, there are the things like that that are sort of, you know, things in which we can use to help manage patients as well, which is great.
Are they expensive, are they?
The intermittent pneumatic compression is about £1,000, so it's not exactly very cheap, but opposed to the surgical routes and things like that, it's a lot more affordable.
Exactly. Well, they do work, I suppose.
They do. Yeah, they're really good, the intermittent pneumatic compression, at sort of helping to soften up the tissues and make it a bit more manageable in terms of getting the garments on as well, because obviously it does help to reduce.
Yeah, I suppose it does. Really, I mean, anything is better than nothing, really, isn't it? Well, I think really, if we do a little summary right now, and some contact numbers, website numbers as well. So really, how would you sum up getting the information across to people, what to look for, and stuff like that?
So obviously, if you do develop a heavy limb, or you notice any area starts to feel really fibrous or uncomfortable, or, you know, any changes, let's say, in your clothing or anything like that, or change in movement, or, you know, if there's any discoloration in your tissues, if it does become really red, because that's an issue we do have. You know, people come into clinic and they'll have cellulitis. So obviously, if you have really red, hot skin, you know, you've got to get to the GP straight away and get some antibiotics, really, because it can lead to sepsis as well. It is very serious. It's not just a case of, oh, it's a bit red, hopefully it'll go away. Because obviously the damage that infection then causes.